Welcome to episode number 44 of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. I'm Karen, and today I'm once again joined by Danya and Jen. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good.
I'm good. I've had a busy, busy day.
It's pretty late for you, too.
Yeah, super late. My whole day has happened already. So. It's actually the next day for me as well. So.
Oh, it is.
Hi, happy Sunday to me.
Good thing you don't have work.
Yeah, so good. My last 2 days off before Christmas, though.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are you working straight to Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gross.
Something like that, yeah.
That sucks.
It's not going to be pretty.
Well, let's get the episode underway. Today, we're going to be talking about more Japanese mythology to do with the show. And the reason why we're doing this is because we got some new information from the trailer that just recently debuted, and the girls have kind of come up with some new things that we think everybody should start thinking about, some addendums to our original Kitsune myth episode that we did a couple of weeks ago. And before we get into that, our contact information is NATWpodcast on Twitter, or you can reach us at notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com, or you can email us at natwpodcast@gmail.com. So to start off here, what sort of things are we looking at maybe changing our minds on from what we talked about before, and where in the trailer did that kind of come from?
I think the biggest thing for me is that aside from looking at just the Kitsune myth, so like the way that they were like, they specifically were using the Japanese name for this mythology, which made us kind of go, oh, it's, so that's why we're looking at Japan, that's why we're looking at that version of the Kitsune, which is where we got all our information from before. But then looking at the way that the old man in the trailer started actually talking about the Kitsune and the no Kitsune, it didn't really mesh completely with what we know from Japanese mythology. It seemed to be drawing a lot more from Korean mythology, which, as we've already had a little bit of character information about Kira, she comes from a Japanese and Korean background. Clearly that didn't flag with us before now. I think we needed a sledgehammer to the face with this one. So it is looking more like they're drawing from both aspects, mm-hmm. So from Korean and Japanese mythology, and kind of meshing it together and making it their own, which we always thought they were going to do. We thought they were going to go in their own direction with this and kind of almost bring it into like the Teen Wolf kind of mythology, because even the werewolf mythology is like their own kind of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of looking a little bit more like they're just making it a kind of a mixture, which is really interesting and kind of makes it almost a little bit more difficult to predict, which I kind of like.
Yeah, me too. I mean, obviously, I don't know a whole lot about this stuff other than what you guys have told me, but just sort of like the mystery with them sort of meshing the two different kinds of mythology and maybe making it their own. I think hopefully this will kind of become its own brand of mythology, I mean, within the show, obviously, but I think that might make it a bit more interesting for everybody, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, I'm kind of, obviously we can throw around as many theories as we want, but we never really know until it happens.
Although you and I were talking before, and some of the things that we were bouncing off of each other and coming up with made a lot of sense. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of, you know, comes about.
Yeah, I'm almost a little bit scared to start talking about it, because like bouncing it back and forth between us, that's cool. Throwing it out there and kind of seeing what reaction I'm gonna get is gonna be very interesting. Very, very interesting. I may be completely off the mark with where my mind is going, but to me it feels like the direction that I think it may be going in from what we've gotten so far. Obviously, that's not a lot. It's a couple of trailers. So, yeah. I guess then should maybe start talking a little bit about the Korean version of the Kitsune myth. Is everyone cool with that? Just jumping straight in?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I apologize if there is anyone Korean listening. Will fully admit that Korean pronunciation, not my forte. But I assume it's called the Kumiho, which is the closest I could get to trying to get like a... I tried to find like a voice clip of someone saying the word, but couldn't. So that's the closest I could get to it. So the Kumiho is, unlike the Kitsune, always seen as an evil kind of creature. There is nothing nice about it. It always has some kind of evil kind of agenda to it. It's never got anything good in mind for what it wants to do. I mean, a lot of the mythology around it and the folk tales of it, it's always out to kill someone, basically. And it's always in very, very violent and gruesome ways. They are seen like very, very much like the Kitsune when we went over it before. They can shapeshift, not just into some kind of fox shape, but also into other people. So it can do stuff like in some folk tales, it's been that they will kill someone, then they will assume their place to get closer to other people. So it may not be that that person was their original target. They may have had other targets in mind, and they have taken their place to be able to get closer to them. In other folk tales, and there's one in particular that's the most... one of the more popular ones, I've still got it up somewhere, called the Fox Sister.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you know that one as well?
Don't read that story late at night. Just don't do it.
No.
Don't read it late at night.
I highly recommend reading it if you're into like really creepy, gruesome kind of like horror stories, like kind of folk stories. If you're really into the sort of grim, like Grimm's tales kind of thing, if that's your thing, definitely do give it a read. The abridged version is that it was a man with, I believe it was three sons
and a daughter
and a daughter.
No. Yeah, three sons and he wants a daughter, right?
No, they did have a daughter.
I'm trying to remember. The one that I read, he had three sons and he wanted a daughter. And he wanted a daughter so bad, he said he would have one even if she was a fox.
Yes, and then he found out that his wife was pregnant.
Right.
And then they had a
daughter.
And then strange things started happening when she got a little bit older. Like, you know, their cattle would like randomly die overnight, so he tasked his sons one by one with basically watching to see what happened. And like the first son was like, it's our sister. I couldn't believe my eyes. She went there and she kind of she killed, yeah, she killed the cattle. She pulled out its liver and she ate it. And the father is like, no, that's impossible. Tell me the truth. And he's like, it is the truth. And he's like, no, you've had a nightmare. And it was the same thing with the second son, saying it. And then and of note, it always happens around the full moon as well in this tale. So the second son said the same thing, and after each presumed lie from like the father's standpoint, he would disown his son and throw them out. And then the third son, having seen what happened to his older brothers, when he witnesses his little sister basically ripping out the liver of these cows and devouring them, basically lies and says, I just saw that the cow had died. And it's like,
Yeah,
yeah.
nothing to see here.
Yeah, basically a whole like, I'm putting up a giant curtain and there's nothing to see. Move along, move along. Yeah, it kind of then comes around that the first two sons become beggars. They start wandering the countryside. They get taken in by a Buddhist master, which nice little link into Buddhism as well. That'll come up later. And they stay with him and they study and he gives them gifts of like magic bottles of like different colors. And he goes, like, use these as I've told you to, and you'll be able to defeat any foe, even that sister that you think is a fox demon. So they eventually return to their village to find it deserted. Like, there's no one left in the village at all. They go home, find like their whole house in disrepair, overgrown. The paper panels on the doors are all torn apart, and they find their sister alone. And they're like, well, where is everyone? What happened? And she's just like, they're all dead. Yeah. This is, oh, this whole story is just so creepy.
Yeah. And then I don't know if I'm getting them confused, but then they sit down and have dinner with the
Yeah.
sister, right?
Yeah, so she kind of is like, oh, stay with me. I don't want to be alone anymore. Won't you stay the night? She gives them food. Yeah. She feeds them like rice and wine, but it's kind of like an illusion.
Yeah.
The rice isn't actually rice, it's maggots, and the wine isn't
Oh.
actually wine, it's blood.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, it's
Yeah.
really, really horrible. And they've eaten this already. And he
And then
wakes.
don't they eat meat too? And they think it's like pork or beef, and it ends up being like
Human
their
fingers.
parents. Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna ask if they were like eating their parents or something like that. You know, this reminds me of Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, I know that's totally random, but that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. Then, like after that, he kind of wakes up because he can hear noises, thinking that his younger brother is still eating. And he like turns over to like kind of tell him off for making noise because he's trying to sleep, and his sister is basically has basically ripped his liver out and is eating his
Oh my
liver,
God.
and she's basically all like, I just need one more, I need one more liver, and then I'll be a human. And he basically manages to defeat her using like the magic bottles of stuff to kind of yeah, basically defeat her and stop her. Like thing is the white bottle is like a puff of smoke, and there's like thorn bushes that trap her. She changes into a fox, and he's like trying to run away, so he throws the blue bottle, and there's like a massive lake appears, so she gets trapped again. She struggles to swim but changes back into the fox and comes ashore, and then here's where it comes back to Teen Wolf. He throws the red bottle and it engulfs her in flame, and she burns to death screaming. Aww. So yeah, so that's where it comes back to Teen Wolf a little bit. So yeah, it's kind of that's the kind of thing that happens with Akumiho. It's basically very, very violent. There's always some kind of motive. In this folktale, it's that she has to eat a certain number of livers to make herself human. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's all very, very gruesome. So, considering the kind of the shorter promos we've had as well, mm-hmm. of everything, I would imagine that this is probably the direction they're going to go in. Which is why we were kind of feeling around a little bit with the Kitsune myth going, but I'm not really sure which direction they're going in, because the Kitsune and even the Nogitsune is basically they're not malicious. Mm-hmm. They're not out for blood. They're not inherently violent. Neither of them. They're mostly they play tricks, but where the Ko is essentially it is out for blood every single time, all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes me wonder, because in the Japanese mythology that we were talking about before, when you guys were talking about the foxes and, like, I think it was the nine-tailed fox?
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. like, they're seen as lucky and that sort of thing. And, I mean, not all of the foxes and the kitsunes were bad. And it just kind of makes me wonder why in Korean mythology there's just such, like, a separation there, and do they have any sort of equivalent to like a kitsune in a positive light or anything like that, or are they always bad?
In some of the older texts, like much older, you can find examples of kumiho that are tricked by humans and are naive and kind of sweet, and there are also helpful ones, but as time progresses, those kind of myths disappear, and you start getting these darker ones where, you know, people are being eaten and hearts are being torn out and livers are being torn out. So there's a very small smattering of older folklore that has that kind of helpful, non-malicious aspect to it, but it's definitely not in the myth as it exists currently.
Okay. And why livers? Why would you eat a liver? That's like the worst part. You know, think about what a liver does. Like, why would anybody want to eat a liver?
They're very high in iron.
Oh, gosh.
Liver's not bad for you, per se.
So I think it's really interesting how in the beginning you brought up the fact that you could get, like, the kumiho will take over somebody's body or whatever to get close to somebody else. And I think that's interesting to kind of explore in what we think could happen on Teen Wolf, because basically we have a whole slew of characters who are very close, and it sort of makes me wonder what direction they could be going down with that. And the first thing that comes to my mind is they're going to want to get close to Scott, because Scott's now the alpha. And he's got a whole group of friends who look up to him, support him, and that sort of thing. And I think if, you know, this creature wants to do anything bad, they're going to target him. And if they do that by taking over somebody else, oh man, that could be so stressful.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes it's not as nice, I guess, as like taking over someone else. It is literally taking their place. As in,
right.
They will kill them and then assume their form and try and, like... like there are folk tales. There's a Kumiho folk tale where even like the woman takes the place of a bride for a wedding. So the Kumiho takes the place of a bride, and no one can tell the difference. Like, even her own mother doesn't realize it. It is like the likeness is that close. It's very, very difficult for them to tell difference. So in this instance, if one of, you know, the people closest to Scott has been taken over, especially with the way that this darkness is going to work, and that we know that, you know, especially with Allison and with Styles, they're going to be very, very sort of off kilter in terms of how they're dealing with it. It would be the perfect time for someone to be able to just slip right in there.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we know because of the darkness that they are much more receptive to, I don't want to say possession, because they've never outrightly said somebody's going to get possessed or that that's even a possibility. Yeah. But sort of reading between the lines of what different people have said, that's kind of the direction that my mind has been moving in. And I mean, obviously, I don't know if that's the case or not, but considering what could be happening, even if it's not possession, even if it is like literally taking over, that does seem like a possible route that they could be going down. And one other thing that we should definitely point out is that Jeff Davis has said that somebody important, you know, is going to die this season. And I know you and I have bounced around a few ideas, and
yeah,
we definitely have one theory that we sort of favor, but considering that it's somebody in the opening credits, you know, he said the opening credits are going to be changing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, there's not a whole lot of people in those opening credits, and they're all pretty darn important.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not even going to say that I favor the theory that I came up with. I really dread it potentially happening. I really dread the thought of like any of the guys from the opening credits leaving at all. But there is one that I feel fits more strongly than the others. Yeah.
Should we say it? It kind of scares me to say it.
It scares me to say it out loud as well. Yeah, it really, really scares me to say it out loud.
Are you afraid to say it? It's going to be real.
Yeah, if I say it, it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be real.
Just do it, because we're going to get 1,000 questions and everybody's going to want to know. So just do it. Just say it.
I think it's potentially going to be Allison. I think we might lose Allison this season. Obviously, the thing with these myths, and the thing that I'm coming back to Allison for, and why I think it's Allison a lot, is that across the board, with the Kumiho, with the Kitsune, and with pretty much any fox myth, it exclusively takes female form. Exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the Kumiho, there is one instance of it taking a male form, full stop. It is not, it's not common, it's not known of. So when I was thinking of if it was going to take someone's place, I was like, well, it would have to be female. So then that brings us down to like for the opening credits, Allison or Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that as of this point, as of right now, the person closer to Scott is Allison. It's always going to be Allison.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, especially that ominous kind of thing with the old guy where he says, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kill it even if it's your own daughter.
Right. That's the thing that really jumped out to me as well. And can we just take a moment, because Donnie and I were freaking out over the old guy. Because it's Shang Tsung.
From,
I mean,
from Mortal Kombat.
From Mortal Kombat. This is like, we've been freaking stop geeking out over this.
We've been freaking out about this for ages.
Yes.
You guys are adorable. to piggy back off of your theory, Danya.
Yeah, go for it.
We see two moments in the trailer from the like the blacklight party rave thing that they have in Derek's loft. And there are two of those scenes show Isaac with Allison. One where Isaac's face is all painted and one where Allison has a bit of paint on her jawline. But Isaac's face isn't painted. And in the scene where Isaac isn't painted, but Allison is, when she's looking at him, her eyes do the creepiest thing. Like, there's just something really freaking weird about her affect when she is looking at Isaac, because there's, like, almost no emotion on her face. And Crystal is a phenomenal actress, so I have to believe that there's some kind of point to it and a reason for it. And because of your stupid theory, I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God. She's going to be the kitsune. She's going to be running around killing people. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's going to be insane if that really does happen. And the other thing that really kind of stood out to me too was when she punches that guy out, because I mean, Allison's a fighter and she's always been a fighter, but just the way that she sort of, you know, walks up to him, knocks him down, and just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
It was so strangely robotic to me. And I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just really weird.
I'm not prepared.
I'm not either.
Are we ever going to be?
I don't. I think it doesn't. At this point, I really, really. I don't want it to be Allison. This is the thing. This is the thing I was saying about saying it out loud, is I do not want it to be Allison. I love Allison. She is one of my favorite characters on the show. But
I ship Scott Allison so hard too. And like, if Allison is gone, like, I don't know how I'm gonna be able to handle it.
I don't know either. I mean, there's a lot of other things that, you know, I think has kind of like hinted towards it may take other forms as well, or it may implant thoughts within the other three, because I was thinking back to as well, and I know I've discussed this with Karen very, very briefly. I was thinking back to we've all seen the promo, right, where Styles stumbles through the door. And he's, like, covered in blood.
Right.
He's got blood all over his hands and blood smeared at the corner of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
What I kept coming back to once I was, like, reading through all the Kumiho stuff was that, well, it eats human hearts and livers. It rips them out and eats them. And that would be very, very consistent with the smear on the side of his mouth and the blood all over his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept coming back to that and thinking, oh no. Yeah, I'm kind of, that's where my mind is starting to go with it, is that it may either like take their place and be killing people to kind of throw suspicion off whatever their natural form is in terms of like, who they are, who, like, as a person, as a character, as a face.
Mm-hmm.
If it's shifting into Styles, I'm leaning more towards Styles and Allison. I don't know if from the hints that we've gotten so far that it's going to shift into Scott and do something. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, the whole fact that Scott can't change into a werewolf, that's being hinted at in the trailer, and then, you know, where it's showing his body is human, but the shadow is werewolf. Like, that's got me freaked out too. I want to know what's going on.
We all want to know what's going on.
I need to get a copy of all of the scripts for 3B and read them right now. Okay, I can't wait.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of like thinking on, yeah, that's kind of the way that I'm going is that, you know, if they're going for Scott, if Scott is their target, which we know he is the teen wolf, he is the main character, he is our protagonist, he is who we are supposed to be rooting for through this whole thing, you know, the two closest people to him are Styles and Allison, because we
think they might go after Melissa.
Oh no,
poor mama's a cult.
No,
she doesn't need any more crazy in her life.
No, she really doesn't. I mean, I could see it going that way. I'm mostly thinking in terms of like what Jeff said about the opening credits, and what's been teased about that. I've kind of narrowed it down to if we're losing someone that big, we have to narrow it down to. So who's being targeted? And it's basically in that main circle. And I mean, considering the mythology behind it and the fact that it does take female form, that's why I keep coming back to Allison. Yeah.
Well, that's depressing. Let's move on.
I know. I'm so sorry.
So the next thing that we wanted to talk about was something else that came from the trailer. And when I had first seen this, I immediately messaged Danya. And I was like, this was before I saw the trailer at the end of the screener that I got. So this was before everybody else kind of heard of it and was talking about it. Because I had no idea what was going on. I was like, Danya, why would they call it The Void? Does that mean anything? And she was like, oh, let me research that. So then her and Jen immediately started researching this stuff. And so they came up with a lot of really cool things. And it kind of gives us, I think, a more solid sort of idea of which direction they could be going in terms of the Japanese mythology, right?
Well, I kind of... Okay, so I'll start with what I've found out about void. The Japanese word for it is kukan, which literally translates to like an empty space or an empty place. And most famously in Japanese philosophy, you hear about void in the Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. And this is a book describing sword fighting techniques and sword fighting strategy. And it's made up of five books, ground, fire, water, wind, and void. And it's, I don't think that's the order of it, but void is last. And for him, void means being empty of thought. And a quote from it would be, when you appreciate the power of nature, knowing the rhythm of any situation, you will be able to hit the enemy naturally and strike naturally. And that's one of the ways that he describes void and having it when you're fighting. So it's allowing you to react to what's around you as it acts rather than as you expect it to act. So it's kind of this empty place in your mind that allows you to be one with everything that's around you because you're empty of thought. So, very philosophical. It ties into Buddhist thought, which I was reading all of these documents on, like Theravada Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism and the ideas of, it's called Sunyata, which I might be pronouncing wrong, but it's the same idea of emptying your mind of thoughts and desires in order to obtain a higher level of consciousness and to get rid of the temptations of life and to be closer to nirvana. and it was all very confusing. And
just in case you guys wonder if we take this show seriously or not.
We take it very seriously.
I care about Teen Wolf probably more than it is healthy, but
you're among good company then.
But yeah, it's so like, I don't know, the idea of Void as a dark spirit or anything like that, because he says it's called Void. It's a dark spirit. It lives on strife and chaos. Didn't really fit with anything that I was looking at when it comes to that terminology. That being said, there are a lot of Japanese ghosts that fit this description of something that lives off of strife and chaos and negative energy and is out to cause trouble and to do no good. So I don't really know where they're going with it.
I don't know if I think that maybe that they're saying it because it's a word that a lot of people are probably familiar with. If you call it a void,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can sort of make a connection to that. Being void of something is usually not, we don't usually see it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You are void of something. It's usually seen in a negative connotation, I guess, in a westernized kind of way. Whereas if you look at it from, you know, an Asian standpoint, it's always a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, they're like polar opposites. So I don't know if they're using the word mostly because it has a different connotation in a westernized sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where my mind is going with it. It's kind of, yeah, that sort of direction, potentially.
Yeah, I think they're using it because it sounds cool. Like saying it's void, you know, and not just saying it is a void, but calling it void as if it were a proper noun.
Right. V.
Right. Yeah. It makes it more tangible and kind of more terrifying to me. But what I read in regards to the Japanese philosophy, void didn't really fit with the kind of vibe I'm getting off of what Void is supposed to be in that trailer. And people are more than welcome to disagree with me because I'm not a genius or anything like that.
Well, I think like definitely just the way that they were talking about calling it the Void, for somebody who, you know, didn't know anything about this, it definitely sort of sent a shiver up my spine, because when mm-hmm. I think of void, I think of like an abyss, something that's really black and empty. And so whether or not they were saying it just to kind of cause that mental image, I think that, you know, it definitely works in that favor.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'm just thinking, Teen Wolf uses a lot of, Celtic mythology as well.
Mm-hmm.
They use a lot of it, and we know that, you know, they brought in stuff like a little bit of Norse mythology last season with the whole thing with Jennifer and when they went through all the mistletoe stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously having just seen the new Thor movie, I'm such a geek. I'm just thinking, like, this is literally coming to me as we're talking it through, so you'll have to give me a moment. But where they were talking about like elements and stuff before, and elements that have been sort of kind of covered on the show, is stuff like
mm-hmm.
you know, they've covered stuff like fire for season one, water for season two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, earth for season 3A, I guess, would kind of fit, especially with the whole nematon thing and the trees and the sort of mm-hmm. going to nature kind of thing. There are two other elements,
mm-hmm.
air and Aether.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, having seen Thor very recently, that's in Thor 2 for anyone who has seen it. And that is the fifth element. And it's kind of... yeah, it's kind of like a very, very pure kind of essence. In Greek mythology, it's like the pure essence that the gods breathed, like filling like the space where they lived. It's really, really difficult to explain. I think Aether's one of the hardest ones to go over, but it is known as like I guess it's kind of a void in its own sense.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth element is Lilu. Come on, guys.
Lilu is actually the name of one of my cats. So
really?
Really.
I like
She's
you.
She's orange and white.
Aw, that's so adorable.
I am a nerd.
Yeah, I'm now starting to like the cogwheels are like turning that, you mm-hmm. know, now stopping and thinking about it, every season has had an element,
yeah,
a
really
representation of an element. And I mean, if they are going with void as one, mm-hmm. I mean, Aether does fit in with like that sort of sense of like, I guess a vacuum and emptiness. It's kind of,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I mean, there's the whole, nature abhors a vacuum, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, with the whole thing with the Nemeton and the guys becoming a beacon and drawing all of this stuff in, what if the Nemeton starts fighting back as well?
Oh, God.
I feel like in general, Danya, I really like your idea of like season one was fire, season two was water, 3A was earth. Like that makes a whole lot of sense. Like a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if we might end up with void this season or Aether this season or if it'll be air.
Yeah.
Because towards the end of season 3A, there were a lot of scenes where Jennifer was walking, where there were these big gusts of air out of nowhere. Like when she meets Derek outside of the school, and they do their cute little kissing thing. And then also when she shows up outside of the school before the concert, where the piano teacher dies. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those two scenes?
Yeah,
there are those big gusts of air there. And then also when Peter attacks her at the Nemeton and like finishes the job, there's a big gust of wind there too. So I'm wondering if that's a transition.
Oh.
Might also be overthinking it a bit, but.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I think, too, Danya, it's really interesting that you were like, I wonder if the Nemeton will start fighting back, because without giving anything away, having seen the first episode, there is a very, very tiny clip where something sort of like that happens. And so that you might be onto something there. I mean, I don't really know anything about what direction that could be going in, because like I said, it's just a really quick snippet, but... That might be a thing this season.
You're killing me right now.
Oh, I may actually be onto something.
I hate you both.
Oh.
So, okay, talking about the void, because I think I got a little lost here.
Yeah.
What is the bottom line when he says... that he calls it a void. What do you think he's saying there?
Well, if we take it at face value and look for the term void in like Japanese, like, I don't know. If you look at the mythology of Japan, there's no creature that's called Void that becomes something dark and malevolent. Like, there's a tradition of unused items, some becoming possessed by spirits and coming alive. There are, like, umbrellas this happens with, where they get possessed by a spirit, and then they get an eye and a mouth, and, like, they hop around and stuff.
Mary and, Poppins!
Not quite, because they, like, eat children and stuff.
Oh, but, God.
And then also dolls get possessed all the time in Japan, where, like, unused items and tattered items become possessed by creatures. So, like, something comes in and fills that space. But what he's describing to me, I mean, I don't know. It sounds more like just one of the many vengeful demon / ghosts that inhabit the Japanese mythology. And Danya, you can, what do you think?
I was thinking of taking it as at face value from almost a Westernized standpoint. I mean, if he's calling it Void, what I'm thinking is that it almost has no conscience, no moral grounds or anything like that. You know, it is out for itself kind of thing. It has its own agenda, its own goals and means to which it will reach them, I guess. So it will do everything within its power to basically get to what it wants, get its power, I guess. Is the way that I would take it. And that's going more, I guess, from the way that we would see Void used in, like, yeah, as the absence of something.
What is that?
That would be my cat, Milo.
Oh my God.
We've been possessed.
Like, bird when he gets really happy.
Oh my gosh. I would not have guessed that was a cat.
He likes to snuggle. And because I'm in our bedroom loft while I'm recording this, he's decided to come say hi.
Oh my God, that's so adorable. You know, it actually reminds me of one of the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I call it his UFO noise.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then I've got my other cat dog up here, so...
Wait, your other cat's name is Dog?
I have a cat named Dog.
Okay.
And my husband has a dog named Cat as well. So she lives with my mother-in-law because we don't have the space. Very strange. I live in a strange home.
Oh my.
If he's coming across too loud, too, I can pick him up and throw him out.
It might be a good idea because he's kind of kicking me out.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my. Come on.
Oh man. I was thinking. I was kind of thinking there was something
for somebody to comment on him. I was like, maybe it's not picking up. Maybe he's being quiet enough. No.
I was wondering what it was. I was like, going, is that have my head
heard that
going
before, Donya?
I have, but I didn't put two and two together. At first, I thought it was my headphones going a bit weird. But
I thought somebody had a bird.
Going back to Teen Wolf and Void, I'm now wondering, so we see at least three of these figures where they're wearing the black masks. There's two that attack one of the twins in that room, and then there's the one that comes out of the darkness, and then there's a fourth mask that's broken that Scott is holding.
Yeah, it was Scott.
And I'm wondering if maybe these people could be related to the Yakuza that we talked about last time. And in that sense, Void would be like the gang name. And they try to exemplify this ideal of reacting to things as things act rather than as they think they will. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, like, kind of, because you related it earlier to, like, swordsmanship, right?
Right.
So
like another hunter group.
Right. But then it would also make sense for why Chris is talking to the old Japanese guy, if he's talking to him about another hunter group who also used to be Yakuza, or he's talking to him about the Yakuza connection, if these people are tangentially related to that.
Right. So with the mask, you kind of have something else too that goes along with that that doesn't, I don't think, has anything to do with the Yakuza. But when you first saw that, what did you think the masks could represent? Like, where are they from?
Yeah, so the mask that we see, to me, as soon as I saw it, it reminded me of Kabuki and No Theater. And for people who aren't familiar with Japanese fine arts, No came out first, I think during the Muromachi period, but I could be wrong. And Kabuki became more popular during the Edo period, towards the 1800s, around the same time as ukiyo-e, which is the woodblock prints. But they're both stage performances. They're both kinds of acting that have very stylized aspects to it. So No depends significantly upon costuming, staging, music, the masks. And there are set masks for set characters. I made a post about it, too, that I talked about, were the Hanya and the Shikami. And the same stylization went into Kabuki, which became kind of a more common form of drama. Like, No is really existential. And almost every story that you read, or every single No play that you read, starts out where it's an itinerant monk telling a story about something. And it's always really sad and depressing. And Kabuki, it can be much more lighthearted, though it does tend to do the same kind of, like, the sad stories. There's a lot of, like, mutual suicide pact stories that come out of Kabuki, and, like, torrid love stories and things like that, but the stylization of it is similar. So the mask that we see in this trailer has a very furrowed brow, and it's got a very open, grimacing mouth, which looks like both the Hanya and the Shikami masks. The Hanya is a female demon who represents jealousy, rage, sorrow, and grief, and unlike the mask that we saw, the Hanya always has two horns coming out of the forehead. The Shikami has a similar kind of look to it. It's also got the furrowed brow. It's got the wide grimace. It does not have the horns, and it's used to represent a vengeful male god or demon. So both of these characters are out for revenge. And that's what the mask looked like.
So lots of talks of demons and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which they did mention in the trailer as well. They did talk about demons in the trailer.
Right.
And you guys also have a couple other notes here about vengeful spirits and that sort of thing. Does that have to do with this, or is that something sort of separate?
It's kind of tangential. I mentioned the user's name on Tumblr is Direction, or, like, it's supposed to be, I think, a play on words for Derek and erection, because it's like direction. But when she was reading the post, what she saw was, when, you know, mentioning a vengeful female spirit, she was immediately like, oh, it's totally Kate. So now I've got this idea in my head of Kate's coming back to beat up Peter. And I really like it, whether it happens or not. That's been kind of like tickling in the back of my mind the whole time I've been doing all of this research. And there's a very long-standing tradition of vengeful female ghosts coming back to get the men that wronged them. And so that's what those two notes are. The Onyo and the Yure are these vengeful female spirits who are really interesting to read about. And I kind of got sidetracked reading folklore, taking notes. So
I think that's pretty cool, though, especially considering that we see Kate. And although I think apparently, at least right now, maybe it's just a part of what Allison's going through and it's all in her head. I think that if there's a possibility that maybe because her mind is more open, she's the one that can see Kate or something like that. But I love the idea of Kate coming back and maybe giving Peter some of what he deserves.
Right. And the other thing is these female spirits that come back, sometimes when they come back for revenge, they don't actually strike out on the person, on the man who caused their death. Like sometimes they'll attack the guy's new wife. Or they'll attack the daughter or something, or they'll hit people who are around him in order to cause him psychological trauma. So just because right now Allison's the one who's seeing Kate, to me, it doesn't completely rule out the possibility that Kate's looking to get revenge on Peter.
Right. Now, you said like a wife and a daughter, do they always attack women? Because Peter doesn't really have anybody except for like Derek.
Right. So the one of the stories that I read, this woman falls in love with a man, they get married, she falls ill, they know she's going to die, and the guy promises, I'm not gonna get remarried. And like she dies, and like 2 months later he's got a new wife. And so she comes back and kills the new wife. So, I'm trying to remember the one where it was the daughter and I'm not remembering it. But it's generally related to a man breaking a promise, or if the proper rites aren't performed when these women die, that'll cause them to come back and turn into these vengeful spirits. And until the promise is kept, the rites are performed or vengeance is enacted, these Yude stay around.
That's very interesting.
I really like.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking we know another female who has a lot of cause for revenge and vengeance and didn't get it from season 3A as well.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Haley.
Yeah. We'll come back.
We love Haley.
I'm always looking. I say this every single time. I always keep looking for ways to bring her back. But yeah, I mean, again, she would be another. Obviously, we haven't seen any of her from like through any of the promos. But, I mean, if this was a theme that they were going to go with, I mean, she would be another one that would fit right into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she never got her vengeance.
No. And she's certainly got a reason to want to beat up Peter, too. I would really like to see Peter. I love Peter, but I also hate him. I want him to get some of what's coming his way.
Yeah. And, I mean, we have heard that he probably will, although that was from Lydia, that Lydia is sort of going to be getting her revenge this season. So maybe if it even doesn't come in the form of Kate, maybe it'll come in the form of Lydia, which I think will be really nice for the fans to see.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of random, but I was just trolling our Tumblr, as I usually do, and I came across this thing that was just posted, well, a couple of hours ago, but I just saw it now, which I think is really relevant to our discussion, and it was from ET Online, and it was something that Crystal Reed says, and she says, as a result of that, I don't know what context this is in, but She says, as a result of that, Allison is hallucinating but doesn't realize she's hallucinating. There's this one scene where I am cut open and being eaten by someone, but I'm awake and aware of it. You can't do anything about it. She almost kills Lydia by accident because she thinks it's her aunt. So, you know, being eaten by somebody, that definitely kind of ties in with what we've been talking about.
Oh, wow. Cut open and eaten by someone.
That definitely fits in,
yeah,
with what I was saying earlier about on. Oh, is it real? Is it not real?
This is gonna be so intense. Like, can you imagine though watching Allison go through that? Even if it is a hallucination, it's gonna be so hard to handle.
It really is. This season's gonna be brutal in terms of like mentally dealing with it. Yeah. I mean, they've got so many really, really interesting things that they can play with here. Obviously, having touched upon some of the directions they could go in. I mean, even if they use just like a fraction of what we've gone into, it'll make for something that's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And to just see how they kind of twist all of this into, you know, to make it work for the show, I think that's going to add a whole nother layer to it. Heavy sigh. Usually when we start sighing heavily, I know it's about time to wrap up the show because we're all just really depressed. But is there anything you guys want to leave the listeners with? Any sort of parting remarks in terms of this new sort of set of mythology that we explored this episode?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be more the Kumiho mythology than the Kitsune mythology. So expect to see people getting eaten. And yeah, there's going to be, I get the feeling that vengeance is going to be a key theme for 3B.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I'm right on board with that there as well, especially after having read up on a lot of this stuff to kind of almost re-familiarize myself with it. It's stuff that I've been interested in before and read about before, but like going back over it to make sure, you know everything, it's definitely feeling more, yeah, Kumiho, definitely. We're going to see a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
And then one other thing to note, when Styles is talking to Scott and he's like, you can't transform, Allison's being haunted by her dead aunt, and I'm going crazy. And they show the textbook with the letters falling down. The thing that he's reading about is Executive Order 9066, and is what created the internment camps. So that's something to note that might be interesting.
Right, and we've gotten set photos and stuff before that kind of leads us to think they could be exploring some part of this, so it definitely all fits in. We don't have all the pieces yet, but a lot of this stuff really is logical, you know, against what we know so far.
We also kind of, you may have seen on the Tumblr, and it was kind of, there were a couple of us throwing around the translation of the Japanese from the trailer as well.
Right.
I think we eventually came back to the one that it was so difficult to translate this, because even though the actor he's a native Japanese speaker.
He
speaks Japanese, but you've got to understand, his accent was so difficult to decipher.
Well, there was the speed at which he says it is really,
yeah,
because so it made really it really slow.
So it made it very, very difficult to try and figure out exactly what he was saying, because the way he said it, it sounded like it was one of like maybe four things that people had heard, and we were going back and forth. Like there was I think in the end there were four or five of us who spoke or speak Japanese kind of, if not fluently, like semi-fluently. Or
didn't you say you sent it off to somebody in Japan?
I did, and she listened to it, and it should be worth mentioning, this girl, she is not a native Japanese speaker. She is from the States, but she's been living in Japan since 2009, and she teaches English in Japan. She speaks Japanese beautifully, and she listened to it and was like, I have no idea what this guy is saying. She's like, I caught Kitsune a couple of times. And I was like, yeah, I got that one. She's like, yeah, and I heard Watakushi. And I was like, yeah, we got that
We got that.
So, once again, just in case you guys didn't think we take this seriously.
Yeah.
We sent totally it off to Japan.
But yeah, I think the final translation back of what we had was, it was I am not alone, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not alone.
Yeah. Which, interesting to note, from 3A is almost kind of what Isaac says when he goes into the ice bath. Is that they're not.
Right.
Yeah. So there have been threads of this whole sort of theme of them not being alone. I can't remember if there was a little bit of it back in season 2 as well. I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly with stuff with the Kanema.
Didn't Scott at one point say he wasn't alone because he had Allison and Styles?
I mean, there's a theme of it going through, but I mean in terms of like this mysterious other thing being there. It's definitely something from, like, when Isaac was in the ice bath. He was freaking out because he was saying that they're here. We're not alone. They're watching us.
And
kind of
do you
thing.
Think that could have been just a reference to the Alpha Pack, or do you think that was hinting at what's coming in 3B?
I want to believe, and I really strongly want to believe that it's been hinting towards what's coming this season. This part of the season, because I never felt like, even after we got like the Alpha Pack thing and he was freaking out about that, I never got that final sense that it was the Alpha Pack. Mm-hmm. I'd had that niggling feeling all along, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. I was just like, it never felt like he was talking about the Alpha Pack, and I couldn't put my finger on why. I never, never could. And then when we started translating this and it started getting thrown back to everything, I was like, oh, maybe they've been dropping these threads through all along. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're now going to pick up on it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see, like, where they go with this.
I need to get a time machine.
January 6th isn't going to be here soon enough.
We're getting pretty close. I'm actually kind of like, I mean, obviously I want it to come as soon as possible, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to handle everything that they're going to put us through.
Yeah.
Right now, I think the only positive thing I've gotten out of all of these promos is that they're putting Dylan O'Brien in clothes that fit him. So I get to lust after his arms now. And I'm okay with it. But so far, that's about the only positive I've gotten out of this is the whoever's dressing these people is finally doing him right.
Choose to believe it's Lydia. Lydia's just had enough. She's had enough of all these people dressing terribly all around her. She's taking a stand. If you can't
Speaking
dress
of
yourself,
style of Lydia. Do you guys think that that's who's kissing Dylan in that one scene?
No.
No, you guys don't think that's
I think it's Caitlin, Zelda Williams's character. that's coming back this season. It looked a lot like her. The hair was too dark for Lydia.
Yeah, I was gonna say the girl's brunette, if anything. I was thinking Allison at first, just because I was like, well, you know,
awesome.
If Allison is like, you know, being taken over or something, and she's like evil now, that would definitely put a rift between Scott and Stiles. But I also really like the idea that it could be Caitlin, especially since we know that Caitlin is bisexual and we know that she's coming back, and she's Zelda's kind of said very specifically, I'm making my bisexual return. So I'm assuming that means that she's going to be kissing some guys or something. So it makes a lot of sense.
I'm also pretty sure that when the trailer came out, she tweeted about it, and she made a specific reference to the kiss with Stiles.
Okay.
Oh.
I was kind of really hoping it would be furthering that the Lydia Stiles thing. I know Holland Roden came out saying that they were just friends, but I don't know. I was just intrigued.
But then one of the twins was like, no, there's still a love triangle. And so now we have no idea what to think.
Yeah. It's kind of
just
it goes,
like everything else.
It goes back and forth so much on this. It's kind of, it's just one of those things where it's like, it is, it isn't, it is, it's not. No, it is. No, definitely not. And you're just like, they're going, it's like, whiplash going back and forth. You don't really know what to assume. I think personally, with everything with Stiles and Lydia, because we're getting such differing opinions depending on who's talking about it, so whether it's Dylan, whether it's Holland, whether it's one of the twins, it depends on who's talking about it, what sort of sense you get of how their relationship is going. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm really, really wanting to wait to see how it plays out on screen, because I think everyone is going to see it that bit differently. Everyone's going to have their own interpretation of it, which I think is really nice. I think it's nice that we're all going to look at things differently. But because we're getting such differing opinions on it, I think waiting to see how it plays out on screen before like jumping to one view or the other is probably going to be the best way to go with it. So until it's right in front of us, because at this point it's just everyone is saying something different and you don't know what to believe.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Well, that pretty much wraps up our episode this time. Definitely want to say thank you to Danya and Jen for doing all this research. Definitely couldn't have done it without you guys, and it was really interesting to sort of revisit it. And, you know, thanks for coming on again. We always appreciate it. Going forward, we're going to have a couple more episodes before the season premieres. One's going to be sort of a funny one that I hope you guys will be really into. We will talk about that more in a little while and kind of get you guys prepared for that, because you're going to be able to submit some things to us, which I think is going to be really fun. And then our last episode before season 3B premieres will be a spoiler roundup. We're going to give you guys the top spoilers that you should maybe be aware of going into the season. We'll break down the trailer and that sort of thing, and should be pretty exciting. And then after that, season 3B will be on air, so definitely something to be excited about. But for now, I will say goodbye to Jen and Danya and talk to you guys later.
Yeah, definitely. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. My cat came back. Grief. Hold on. Let me get rid of him again. Go away.
Oh my god.
Did you just throw Milo?
I did, but it sounded worse than it really was. I threw him off the bed. It wasn't really that bad. He's just really fat. So he didn't respond. Um,